You know, thing is, I got a lot of shit to cover. I really want a tangent, but I also want to wrap up the talking about Texas politics things. And I'm in a much better mood than I was that I recorded the previous episode. Not really a better mood. I think I'm just more awake. In case you hadn't noticed, I was not fully awake on the previous episode, stating the obvious. But then again, some of you said, great one, we didn't notice any difference at all because all of your podcasts suck. Well, you know, you keep listening, so fuck you. And no, I'm not drunk. Today is a fasting day. I wish I was drunk. I'd love to be having a beer right now. It's about, what is it? It's 54 degrees outside, according to my thermometer. It's a pretty nice day, even considering.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. Look for a safe space. This ain't it.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way Biden's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Yes, you are welcome. You are motherfucking welcome. This is what I do for you people. I am up here, I'm like Jesus on the fucking cross for you. And still, nobody listens. They come and they say, oh, great one. What are you talking about? There's not going to be a new variant of Wuhan every year. Oh, great one. What are you talking about? Just as soon as everybody gets vaxxed, we can all go back to normal. Oh, great one. What are you talking about? It's only 14 days to flatten the curve. You don't want to overwhelm the hospitals, do you? You know, have you guys noticed? Isn't this convenient? Isn't it convenient that there's a new variant of the Wuhan virus just in time for Christmas? Oh my goodness. So we'll see what happens this year. Now, last year I predicted that last I saw back in Colorado, specifically in Laramie County, where the People's Republic of Fort Collins is at, we were not in any kind of lockdown or anything yet. Which last year I predicted there would be a lockdown for Christmas, when in fact what happened was the lockdown ended like the day before Christmas. So we'll see what happens this year, especially with the Omicron. Is it the Omicron? You know, like these science fiction names. It's the Delta variant. It's the Omicron variant. It's the Andromeda factor. Andromeda strain. The Andromeda strain. That's a good book, Michael Crichton. You know, I haven't seen the movie in a long time, but I bet the movie actually holds up. I should put that on my list of things to watch. You know, I'm going to tangent before we get back to Texas politics at the risk of ending up having to do a part 5 to this series, but I don't care because I feel like tangenting. There is a YouTube channel I watch occasionally. I want to say it's called Red Letter Media, but I could be full of shit. And basically, it's a bunch of guys, and they're not everybody is in every video and all this other stuff. There's a group of them that do this stuff. And basically, they just do things like movie reviews. I think they do other stuff. Mostly, I watch their movie reviews. Like recently, two of them did a countdown of ranking best to worst all the John Carpenter movies. And it was really fun to watch because I like a lot of John Carpenter stuff. And they talk about TV series. Like they've talked about the new. Well, they talk about shit tons, but I watched some of their stuff on the new Star Trek series. What's it called? Discovery? Discover? Whatever the hell it is. The one that has all the minority characters. And they just ripped it to shreds. I just watched, two of them did a review and a comparison of the David Lynch Dune movie to the new Dune movie. Which I've never seen the David Lynch Dune, and I wasn't particularly intending to see the new Dune movie. But after watching their review, now I want to see both of those. So I got to put that on my list. Why did I get on this topic? Because there was some other movie I was going to talk about that I just was, man, my brain is like a sieve. I don't even know what a sieve is. I used to know what a sieve is, but I forgot. And my brain is like, whatever a sieve is, that's what my brain is like. Hang on. I gotta get this over here because I need this piece of paper. to write down shit. Because otherwise, shockingly enough, you may not believe this, but if I don't write things down, I'll forget them. The number of times Dune movies. Oh, speaking of movies, and we're tangenting on tangenting now because none of this is what I was going to talk about before I started talking about what I'm supposed to be talking about based on the title of this podcast. Oh, I know. Right. All right, here goes my brain. See, I either remember nothing or everything. Let me write this down so I don't forget it. Movies. I recently rewatched Beverly Hills Cop, the first one. I know there's another one. I don't care how many. Watch the first one, Eddie Murphy. That movie was funnier than shit. That movie really stood the test of time. I mean, yeah, the shootouts with the bad guys are the usual fake thing where the bad guy shoots the machine gun at the cops and blows like 100 bullets in their direction and never hits them. And then the cop pops up with his pistol and puts a bullet in the bad guy and he falls. Yeah, there's all that level of stuff. Putting aside that, this is a goddamn funny-ass movie. It was really good. The pacing was good. Eddie Murphy was funny. If any of you have seen Eddie Murphy's later movies in his career, you may be saying, wait, Eddie Murphy was funny? Yes, Eddie Murphy was funny. That's a good flick. All right. So, the great one. I swear to God, there's something else I was going to talk about. I already lost it. Just went poof right out of my tiny little brain. So the great one just came back from running some errands, and among those errands was I went by the library to get a library card here locally. So because I don't particularly have a permanent address here, I can't, in Rapid City anyhow, because Cappy doesn't live in Rapid City proper, and I don't live in Rapid, so yada, yada, yada. So in order to get a library card, I have to pay for it. Which wasn't bad. It's $99 a year. I'm like, okay, I can handle that. It's $99 a year. What's the big fucking deal? I get books, right? And they actually have, a pretty good selection of movies and television series. I'm like, oh, hey, I can, they got some good stuff. Like they got the whole Buffy the Vampire collection. What else did I see they had? Oh, they have Rumpole of the Bailey. If you don't know Rumpole of the Bailey, it's a British comedy series from back in the day. Rumpole is a barrister. And I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember that it's actually quite funny. So we'll see how my memory is, because I want to get a disc of that and watch it and see if my memory is correct. So I went down there to get myself a library card. So I walk in and the people are sitting there, the people who work there, they're all sitting there at their little counters and they've got their plexiglass shield up because viruses can't go around plexiglass, right? And they got their little muzzles on and hanging there by the windows, there's muzzles hanging there that are available for you to get the muzzle and put it on because there's a big sign that says mask required to get help from the staff, you have to put on a muzzle. Right? You can be in the library without a muzzle, but if you're going to go interact with a staff member, you have to put on a muzzle. So I walked up to the counter without a muzzle on, and the guy behind the counter wearing his muzzle turns and looks, and he sees me and he says, "Hey, what can I do for you?" And I said, "I want to see about getting a library card." And he said, "Okay." And at no point in the exchange did he tell me, "Oh, by the way, I need you to put on a muzzle." Because nobody here really seems to give a shit about muzzles. And I am going. So here's an update on the People's Republic of Fort Collins. I couldn't do the first gig that was coming up because I don't have my WuVax pass. But apparently there's some other gigs coming up later in December that I am allowed to do those without a vaccine passport. I mean, a WuVax pass, because there is no vaccine passport, right? That is a right-wing white nationalist conspiracy theory. There is no vaccine passport. You just have to show proof of vaccination in order to enter certain buildings. But it's not a passport. And see, the libtards and the vaxxers and the freetards will say, see, it's not a passport. A passport, because it's, and I agree, it's not. A passport is a document of some type that you have to show to an official in order to cross, you know, borders between one nation state and another nation state. Whereas, of course, if I wanted to, say, cross borders from one nation state to another nation state, I would have to show them a documentation that I've had the proper vaccines to come into their country. But, of course, that's not a vaccine passport, right? A passport is a document you have to show to go from one country to another. And when you go from one country to another, you have to show documentation that you've had any vaccines that the country you're going to requires you to have in order to enter their country. Right. So, but that's not a vaccine passport, right? That, of course, that's not a vaccine passport. Yes, it's a vaccine passport, you fucking moron. But my point is, the liberals will tell you that's absolute. We already have vaccine passports. If you've traveled to other countries, you know that you have to get vaccines before you go to the other countries. That's a fucking vaccine passport. Vaccine passports, which liberals tell us will not exist because they are right-wing white nationalist conspiracy theories, already fucking exist. Once again, this is beyond clown world, okay? We're in the clown world. No, we're not in the clown world, girls. We are in the retarded dystopia. It is a dystopia, and the people here are retarded. It is a retarded dystopia. If we could live in clown world, it would be much better. That would be a fucking improvement over what we have now. So anyhow, nobody at the library gave a flying shit that I wasn't wearing a muzzle. Despite the fact that they were wearing muzzles, which was, of course, because their supervisor told them they had to. I'm sure most of those people didn't give a rat's ass. Anyhow. Go in there, get my library card. They have a good selection of movies. They have a good selection of TV series. And then I go over, of course, the first place I go is the graphic novel section, otherwise known as the comic books. Now, because I know I have some conservative listeners, so see, comic books are this form of literature that blends pictures and words. And you don't know about this because I understand, I get it. See, popular culture is beneath you, kind of like how trannies are beneath me, and so I don't think about trannies. Popular culture is beneath you. All you want to do is read from the Bible all day. And then you can't figure out why young people aren't interested in anything you have to say and why young people don't know anything about your gay-ass religion, but they sure know that superheroes are homosexuals and all this other weird shit. So, here's what I was going to tell you. I haven't watched the video yet, but I saw a video that like the thumbnail and the title, and this will tie into what we're about to talk about. From Eric July, it apparently, based on the thumbnail and the title, I could be wrong about one. You know what? Hold on. Let me just fucking type it into Google. Let's find out. Hey, great one. Why don't you actually fucking ascertain whether or not this shit is true before you say it? Well, because I'm a libtard. I don't need to fucking ascertain. I could just say whatever I feel and pretend that it's real. And if you don't like that, you're oppressing me. You're oppressing me. Poison ivy. Let me see what I got here. Nope, not that poison. Poison ivy, the new seduction. I remember that movie vaguely. That was not the same poison ivy. All right, let me see what happens here. Is this it? What is this crap? Let me do this. It's a great one, because you've done this before you start. Yeah, I could have. I could have done this before I started the podcast. But see, that would be way too easy. Here we go. Tokenized Batwoman. Oh, is it the TV series? Oh my God. All right, it is. I guess it said Batwoman TV series. Our first Mary as Gotham Poison. So Poison Ivy, for those of you who don't know, because pop culture is beneath you, right? Poison Ivy is a redheaded white chick. She's a villain. And she controls plants. Poison Ivy is now a redheaded Asian. The redheaded white chick has been converted to a redheaded Asian because affirmative action, because diversity, because pandering, because white guilt, because cuckservatives are too cucked to kill their enemies. You know, we could go on and on and on and on. So at the library, I'm in the graphic novel section, and I see the graphic novel Doomsday Clock, which is a sequel to The Watchmen, which I have said over and over and over again how you should read The Watchmen because it is a great piece of literature. And I'm looking at Doomsday Clock, and I'm going, have I read that? Because it's the sequel to The Watchmen. It's probably something I should investigate. And I pick it up, and I start flipping through it, and then I realized, yes, I had watched it. I had not watched it. I had read it. They haven't made a movie out of it yet, and I hope they never do. I have read it. I just didn't remember I'd read it because, number one, my brain is like a sieve. Because, number two, I didn't write it down. Because, number three, it was so traumatically bad that I blocked it out of my mind. I'm like, oh, yes, I did read this. It gave me PTSD. So, read The Watchmen. Do not read Doomsday Clock. It was terrible. So then I see up here we've got the Star Wars, The Old Republic, Volume 4, the collection. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm flipping through it. And it's essentially, it's the same universe as Star Wars, The Old Republic, the computer game that I play, right? So I'm like, oh, let me grab this, especially because I'm looking at the cover of it. And there's like this hot redheaded chick, Jedi, on the front cover. I'm like, oh, it's got a hot redhead with a fucking lightsaber. Okay, I'll read that all day long. So I'm flipping to the back here. This hot redhead with the lightsaber is Satil Shan. So Satil Shan, she's Bastil Shan's descendant. Bastil was a famous Jedi master known for her battle meditation. A lot of female Jedis. Her battle meditation ability and saving the galaxy from Darth Malak. Yes, women always save. Satil has a lot to live up to, and from the start, she's beset with obstacles that threaten to drag her down. Oh, the patriarchy is trying to hold poor little Satil down. From her muddled foresight to her overbearing master. Her master is overbearing. Her master is patriarchal. Her master is holding her down. Her overbearing master. Because you see, we wouldn't want a Jedi Padawan who's learning to become a Jedi Knight, you know, to have an overbearing master who forces you to fucking train. You're like Yoda and up there on Luke's back as Luke is running through the swamp. No. See, that for that to happen to Luke is okay because Luke is a man. But you can't be overbearing on a woman. Oh my goodness, no. She should get to be a Jedi master just because affirmative action, diversity, vagina, you know, the history of patriarchal oppression that has held down so many female Jedi wannabes before her. Satil's path is never easy. Oh, it's never, oh my God, my path to becoming a great warrior. It wasn't easy. Oh, you poor thing, you. Oh my goodness. She had to work, guys. She had to do effort. Oh. What does it have to do with Poison Ivy? Wait for it. Okay, wait for it. When a friendly flirtation begins with Lieutenant Tavis, it looks like she's headed towards a disconcerting romance. But this proves not to be the case. No matter how charming Tavis might be, Satil's dealing with issues that could mean the end of the Republic. She can't afford to lose perspective. Ooh, she's so strong and independent, guys. She don't need no man. She's strong and independent, but she can't flirt with Tavis and save the Republic at the same time. See, James Bond can defeat the bad guy, save the world, and bang chicks all at one time because he's a man. Women, well, she can save the Republic or she can flirt with the hot guy, but she can't do both. It's kind of like parking your car between the lines. It's like she can park the car, but she can't get it between the lines because that's a little bit more too much. What's great about Satil? This is what's great about Satil. You know, other than she has vagina and depression and her master is overbearing because maybe he has expectations or something. Oh, that's right. Women should be exempted from expectations. What's great about Satil? What's really funny, none of this I'm doing right now is even planned. I saw this page that I'm reading right now after I actually started the podcast. What's great about Satil, that's what's great about me, is that I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Did you know that I've been on the internet since 1999? That I've been podcasting for 17 fucking years? That along with Michael W. Dean, I invented blogging and podcasting. You are welcome. Go fuck yourself. I am right. I am always right. I've always been right. I will always be right. I have never been wrong. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to be. It makes every day of my life just fucking wonderful. I just can't wait to go back to the People's Republic of Fort Collins and watch the fucking sheep walking around with cloth on their faces. What's great about Satil is that she has the emotions, but she makes the right choices anyway. Now, hold on. Considering that women are completely driven by emotions, what do you mean she has the emotions but makes the right choices anyway? Which seems to imply that the emotions would lead her to the wrong choices. So see, she has the emotions, but she still made the right choices. So did the emotions not lead to the right choices? So are your emotions wrong? Can you not have emotions and make the right choices? Like, what does that sentence mean? In the climax of Threat of Peace, Satil is confronted with the paradox of the peace treaty. How can the Jedi accept peace with enemies who are inherently violent and evil? Well, that's tolerance and diversity. Like, this guy, this is literally Hitler, tolerance and diversity, okay? If to tolerate something, you have to view it as evil or at least undesirable, right? Like, if the CSU women's volleyball team showed up right now and said, hey, great one, we're here to fuck you right here in Aaron Clary's kitchen, I would not have to tolerate that. That would not require tolerance. Like, oh, okay, girls. I mean, I guess I'll be able to tolerate this, but yeah, I mean, no. And diversity. Oh, the diversity. I know diversity really means just different color skin, but no, diversity. That means people have different opinions. Some of those opinions you might not like. You would call them evil, inherently violent and evil. Oh, you mean like Antifa? All right, boy, making her decision twice as hard. Both her master and Tavis have already given in to their anger. Oh, they've given. I don't know what the storyline here is. Satil's first instinct is to join them, right? Because women are herd animals. That's what women do, right? Tavis is obviously an alpha. That's why she wants his cock. Her master is an alpha because he's overbearing. He has standards. On one hand, women sit here and say, oh, you can't tell me what to do with my body. But we all know the number one female sex fantasy is rape. And we all know that women desperately want to have their bodies controlled by alpha males because women understand that they can't control themselves. They have no control at all. That's why when you go out with a woman and she says to you, now I have a rule. I have a rule against sex on the first date. Right? So when she tells you she has a rule against sex on the first date, what she's telling you is that if you ignore this rule, you're going to fuck her tonight because she fucks on the first date. This is why she has a rule against fucking on the first date. She's telling you the rule so that you will enforce the rule and not try to have sex with her on the first date because she knows that if you try to have sex with her on the first date, she's going to spread her fucking legs. Okay? Like, I do not have a rule against sucking men's dicks because I don't suck men's dicks. I don't need a rule. When I meet a man, I go, hey, Bob, how's it going? I say, Bob, by the way, I want you to know I have a rule. I don't give blowjobs to men. Just wanted to make sure you knew that, Bob. I don't need to tell Bob I have a rule against sucking dicks, right? Because I don't suck dicks. So whatever a woman tells you she has a rule against, what she's telling you is what she's going to do. She just wants you to control her so that she doesn't do the thing she knows she's going to do from experience. You're welcome. Yes, I am a genius. Making a decision. Okay, Satil's first instinct is to join them, but her commitment to what's right, standing for peace, actually wins out. Standing for peace. Remember, guys, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is not the absence of war. Let's pretend for a moment that the Hoxacost is real and that 6 million kikes were actually gassed. Well, see, that's peace. None of those kikes are at war, right? None of those kikes have any bad feelings. None of those kikes are in conflict. So that's peace, right? No, peace is not just the automatic absence of conflict and war does not translate into peace. The traits we see in Satil here later earn her the honor of becoming Grand Master of the Jedi Order. Of course she does. Of course, that's like the grand poobah of the entire Jedi Order. So there's, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, millions of Jedi. I don't know how many Jedi they are. There's a bunch of them, right? This chick becomes the Grand Master, the Grand Poobah, the top Jedi in the entire Jedi Order, okay? In fact, Satil becomes one of the youngest Jedi in history to be given that esteemed position. So she's got these whopping, you know, and she, I mean, yes, it's a comic book, it's a drawing. You know, she looks like she's 25 years old. So yeah, we're going to put some little 25 year, now I don't know if she's 25 when she becomes Grand Poobah, but she's one of the youngest. So when you're selecting who's going to be the head of your galactic Jedi order that has hundreds of thousands of Jedis, you select somebody young who has very little life experience. But see, this one time, there is this one time where she made the right choice. And so that qualifies her to be the Grand Poobah. Now, here's the part. Here's the money shot. You're saying, great one. Is there a point? Yes. Poison Ivy, white girl, redhead, turned into an Asian. Satil Shan, in the comic book, white girl with red hair. In the video game, the character is an Asian. The tokenization and the affirmative action, it just doesn't stop. And see, the problem isn't free speech, and the problem isn't what teachers are allowed to talk about in public school. The problem is that the people who take white redheaded characters and turn them into Asian characters for the purpose of affirmative action are not being ostracized from our society. That's the problem. If you take the people, you know, this whole, once again, to pick on Adam Piggott, right? Because I thought about this while I was driving around today in the truck. You know, Adam Piggott's with his, well, I don't support freedom of speech. This is exactly like retards who say they're opposed to guns, okay? The freedom of speech is not what is, and Adam is opposed to freedom of speech because it undermines the Catholic Church, okay? And yeah, sure, it does. The people using words to undermine the Catholic Church. I don't disagree with that part. Follow my analogy here. Great one. Analogies are shut up. The gun doesn't shoot somebody. It's the person using the gun that does the shooting. The free speech isn't what undermines your precious church. It's the person running their mouth that undermines the church. Free speech, much like a gun, does not have sentience. It does not have self-awareness. It does not have self-direction. It does not have intentions. And the problem, and this is why, once again, when you go deep enough, religious people, you're cucks for Christ, they're exactly like women. Women think the reason shootings happen is because of guns. Why was there a school shooting? Well, because of the gun. Oh, it had nothing to do with the single mother, the medication, the child being overweight, the child not going to the gym, the child not having a father to teach him how to approach girls and get laid. No, it was because of the gun. And you got the cucks for Christ. Oh, my religion is being undermined because of freedom of speech. Right, it has nothing to do with the fact that, I don't know, pop culture is beneath you. It has nothing to do with the fact that you spit out babies and you send them to public school. You know, it has nothing to do with the fact that you allow homosexuals and trannies to exist in your community. No, none of that. You know, your church has a fucking fag flag out front. None of that has anything to do with your church being undermined. It's because of freedom of speech. The guns and the freedom of speech, they're coming for you. All right. That's enough of that. Oh, shit. I'm 30 minutes into this. We haven't even got to Texas politics yet. All right, let's do this. Finally. And hey, Audacity hasn't crashed yet. Wow, amazing. I wonder if we could get through a fucking podcast without the recording shutting down. All right. Last thing we talked about was it makes it illegal to stand in front of an ambulance, block an ambulance. Once again, see what I'm talking about. The problem isn't protesters standing in front of the ambulance. The problem is the ambulance not running over the protester. If you stand in front of a fucking ambulance that has the siren and the lights on, everyone knows when an ambulance turns on the siren and the lights, there's somebody in the back who's injured, sick, dying, whatever. They're trying to get them to a fucking hospital so the hospital can find out if they have medical insurance or not. Everyone knows this. When you see an ambulance coming towards you, the lights are flashing, the sirens, get the fuck out of the way. The problem isn't people standing in front of the ambulance. The problem is that we live in a society where people who are stupid enough to stand in front of the ambulance are allowed to live. That's the goddamn problem. And we don't need a law for this. What we need is to just run them the fuck over. And then we need a justice system, where in which, you, okay, so you go to, and they're standing there and they're in the court, and the judge says, all right, what happened? And the guy says, well, I'm the ambulance driver. I was going down the road, and this guy was standing in front of me, and I veered to the left to go around him, and he walked in front of me again, and I ran him over. And the judge goes, okay, case dismissed. Next. It's that fucking simple. It's real obvious. If you're standing in front of an ambulance, barreling down, I don't know if it was these ambulances in these actual cases were barreling, were they moving slowly? I don't know. I wasn't there, and I honestly don't give a fuck. If it's an ambulance, and the lights are on, and the siren is on, get the fuck out of the way. If you can't get the fuck out of the way, you should be aborted. It doesn't matter what trimester you're in. You should fucking be aborted. End of discussion. You're welcome. God damn, I'm so fucking sick. The solution to almost every problem in our society is blindingly obvious to anyone who doesn't let every moment of their fucking existence be dictated by their fucking feels. Well, what about black lives? Black lives have nothing fucking to do with it. Get out of the way of the ambulance, you stupid jackass. Fucking Christ, the morons. This is it, though. This is the retarded dystopia. And it's getting much, much worse before it gets any better. All right. Criminalizing homeless camping. House Bill 1925 makes camping in an unapproved public place a misdemeanor crime that carries a fine of up to $500. Cities cannot opt out of the ban. Yeah, I love it. That's great. Reducing pre-kindergarten class sizes. Pre-kindergarten classes are now capped at 22 students, the same maximum class size of other elementary school grades under Senate Bill 2081. So that's just an excuse to have more classes, which means you have to hire more teachers. Teachers! Right, this is a make work bill for teachers, for overweight women who don't have any real skills that anyone's willing to pay for. This is a way for women to get paid to babysit other women's children and indoctrinate them with critical race theory. That's all that is. New state employee retirement accounts. Oh, this could be interesting. I haven't read any of this. I have no idea what's coming. Senate Bill 321 enrolls new state workers hired after September 1st, 2022 in a cash-balanced plan, which deposits a percentage of a worker's annual compensation in retirement accounts and is similar to 401k retirement accounts. So in other words, when the stock market crashes, they'll lose all their money also. Currently, employees have defined benefit retirement accounts based on employment positions and previous salaries. Oh, so you mean, okay, So the way I'm interpreting this, I could be wrong. This is all I know about. So the older employees, they were in that retirement system, right, where you just pay in. And then when you retire, you get a salary. You get a what do we call it? A pension. That's the word. A pension based on your salary. So if you made $10,000 a year when you're working, when you retire, you get $10,000 a year or however it may work. Now, they're just going to put their money in a 401k account. And when you retire, whatever's in your 401k happens to be whatever you get. Okay, that's smart on the part of the government, which is not going to be able to pay all of these pensions. Oh, man. Why not just let the, if that's what you're going to do, why not just let the employees run their own 401k? I mean, does this have any kind of 401k matching from the government, which is it really matching? Because, I mean, I know the details, but it just, yeah, I see what's going on there. And the final one, House Bill 19. Shielding company cars. Wait, no. Shielding, still can't read apparently. Shielding companies from car crash liability. House Bill 19 requires drivers of commercial vehicles, including Ubers, Lyfts, and delivery trucks. So if your car, if you drive for Uber, you now have a commercial vehicle. Okay. Requires drivers of commercial vehicles to be found liable in court for causing a car crash resulting in injury or death before a case can be brought against their employer. So isolating, so this is an insulation between the company you work for and the lawyers if you're driving a vehicle and you hit somebody and kill them. I mean, okay, on one hand, I mean, yeah, you're driving, you're responsible. You know, that's one of those things, it's just so dumb that I don't know that I have an opinion on it one way or the other. Okay. We did that one, we talked about that, okay, and then we did that. All right, now we have to flip over here. Whew, I got a lot more left than I thought I did, too. There's no way I was going to get all this in one episode. There's no way I'm going to get all of this in your vagina, sweetheart. It is way too big. All right, here we go. We're still on September the 2nd, 2021. These are more updates from the government clown world retarded dystopia action. The Texas House approved an elections bill Friday along party lines, shocking, with 21 Democrats declining to participate. The bill, slightly different from previously passed Senate legislation, now heads a conference committee that will negotiate a final version. So the bill was passed, but now we have to negotiate a final version, which means the bill is still going to change. We voted on the bill, but now we're going to take the bill that people voted on. It doesn't matter whether you liked it or not, whatever. So there was this bill that was voted on by the representatives of the people. See, this is democracy. This is democracy, guys. So let me explain democracy. Let me explain to you how wonderful democracy is. So the people, see, they elect their representatives. God, statism is so wonderful. I'm getting a hard on right now just thinking about how awesome democracy is. The peoples elect their representatives, and their representatives are these fine, upstanding people that represent the needs and the wants and the desires of the people they've been elected by, and they care about those people, and they go forth to Austin, Texas, the capital. And there, those representatives, armed with an intimate knowledge and understanding of what their constituents want and need and deserve and require. They voted on this bill. They said yay or nay to this bill with these specific, God knows how many hundreds of pages of legalese lawyer writing that no normal human could ever hope to understand. Even though they've never read it, you don't have to read. Remember, you don't have to read the bill to vote on it. You just vote on the bill and you pass it, and then you find out what's in there. But these bastions of democracy, these representatives of the will of the people, they went in there and they voted on this specific bill because this specific bill was either going to help or hinder the people they represent. So they voted for the bill or against the bill based on one of those two things. We can't necessarily say which because who really knows. And now that that specific bill has been passed, there's going to be a committee who's going to change the bill any way it wants to. It's just like the terms of service at Facebook. Facebook wrote the terms of service. You agreed to it. And now Facebook will change that terms of service anytime they want to without so much as any consent from you. And there's nothing you can do about it. OMG, democracy rules. This is the greatest system ever. You know what we need to do? You and I and our tax money and anyone who doesn't agree with us, we should use the threat of force and violence to make them comply and take money away from them to finance this anyway. You know what we should do? We should assemble the most powerful and well-funded military force in the history of the human species. And we should use that military force to spread democracy across the globe. You know where we should start? We should start in Afghanistan because it's just a bunch of guys with AK-47s who herd goats. How difficult could it be to invade and take over Afghanistan and give them some democracy? It should take, what, about 3 or 4 months? The measure passed after House Democrats largely ended a second walkout that broke quorum. Remember, the Democrats walked out, went to Washington, D.C., were sucking up to camel toe Harris. At least six of them got Wuhan, even though they'd all been double vaxxed, right? Because the vax prevents the Wuhan. The Austin American Statesman reported, I like how newspapers just, well, this was in this other newspaper. We're just going to, so here's what this other newspaper said. Well, you know, at least they're being honest. At least they're not pretending they figured this out. They're telling, yeah, we read this in another newspaper. Points for honesty. You know, if everyone would be this honest, like when some fucking freetard tells you, well, don't you know the vaccine works? If instead they would say, well, CNN said the vaccine works, right? If you would just be honest and stop trying to present like anything you say is some kind of thought that you had, if you would just preface everything that comes out of your mouth with the source, you know, well, CNN said that anti-vaxxers are stupid, instead of just saying, well, anti-vaxxers are stupid. Just lead with wherever you got your information from. Lead with whomever it is you're repeating. Because let's, you know, there ain't an NPC alive that's ever had an original thought in their life. Not a single fucking one. I'm about to go back into NPC land. The fucking FOCO shithole. Fort Collins shithole, man. I'm about to go back into the realm of the NPCs. I'm going to be surrounded by motherfuckers who have never had an original thought in their fucking lives. Yeah, we are definitely not going to finish this. Oh, man. Not a chance in hell. The Austin American Statesman reported the bill would ban drive-through and 24-hour voting, add ID requirements to mail-in ballots, and give greater leeway to partisan poll watchers' ability to observe both polling places and vote counting. How do you do ID requirements to mail-in ballots? Do you have to like mail in a copy of your driver's license? Like, how does that work? Do you have to show an ID to get the mail-in ballot? I mean, none of it matters. Democracy is still stupid. It still doesn't work. All the problems we have right now, they're all caused by democracy. And we've had 300 fucking years of voting and democracy. Look where it's gotten us. Republicans supported the bill as a means to reassure voters that elections are fraud-free. Wait, isn't it Democrats that are supposed to be trying to convince us that there's no fraud in the election? I thought, weren't Republicans supposed to be convincing us that there is fraud in the election? Critics, otherwise known as Democrats, but we'll call them critics, even though they mean Democrats and leftists. Leftists called it an attempt to say it with me, guys, suppress voting among minorities and other groups that tend to support Democrats. Because, so yeah, ban drive-through voting. Okay, well, that's only obviously going to affect POCs, because white people would never do drive-through voting because white people don't have cars, right? All the POCs have automobiles. POCs vote through the drive-through all the time. End 24-hour voting, because, yeah, that's really going to adversely affect the POCs, because I'm sure the POCs are going out at 3 a.m. to do their voting. The POCs don't have time to go vote during normal hours because they're all at their jobs. You know, the jobs that if they had, they don't have anymore because the Wuhan hoax has resulted in them being unemployed. ID requirements, and that's obviously discriminatory against the POCs because the POCs can't get driver's license. But wait, if the POCs are going to the drive-through voting place, they're driving, so don't they have a driver's license? State Representative Chris Turner, Democrat, Grand Prairie, said the bill was inspired by former President Trump's claim the election was stolen. Quote, "This bill was never about election security or voter integrity. It was always about using the big lie to justify restricting access to the ballot box," unquote, Turner said. Yes, everything is on, restricting access. Oh, your access is restricted. Hey guys, your access is restricted all the time. You can't go to the theater if you don't have a WuVax pass. Your access is being restricted. So we can restrict people's access to go see a musical, but we can't restrict people's access when it comes to voting for who's going to be the Grand Poobah of the Jedi Order, which is how a young woman gets elected to be the president, right? Texas, Wuhan cases drop. Hospitalizations, deaths rise. The number of new cases of Wuhan in Texas dropped 14% last week when compared to the previous week. However, 1,351 deaths in the state were reported by the Coronavirus Research Center at Johns Hopkins University, up 44% from the previous week. Okay, so this is how many, so 1,351 deaths were reported by the Johns Hopkins University. It was reported by Johns Hopkins, right? That doesn't have anything to do with how many people actually died of Wuhan. Once again, this is the South Park joke, the ongoing South Park joke. You know, Tom, we're reporting that a million people died at this disaster. Well, Bob, a million people died. Well, no, Tom, nobody died. We're just reporting that a million people died. As we've explored, here, how many of these 1,351 dead people, how many of them were double vaxxed? The Texas Department of State Health Services reported 13,735 lab-confirmed Wuhan patients in hospitals, an increase of 6% from the previous week. The number of hospitalizations is approaching the all-time high of 14,218 reached in mid-January. We don't have an actual number, but there's a number of them. Okay, do you have a number, like an actual number between zero and infinity? Because if you tell me a number of hospitals, that's an emotion. If you tell me seven hospitals, that's an empirical fact that can be verified or denied. A number of hospitals have reported all intensive care unit beds are filled. We talked about the intensive care unit scam. DSHS reported only 325 available ICU beds statewide as of Sunday. Oh my God, only 325 ICU beds in the whole state. Wow, what are we going to do? Now, here we go. People under the age of 50 are being admitted to hospitals with Wuhan in the largest numbers since the pandemic began in early 2020. Remember, along all this, there's still the financial incentive for the hospital to get people in the hospital and claim they're in there because of the Wuhan has not gone away. The financial incentive to have more Wuhan cases hasn't gone away. There's still all this Wuhan relief money flying around. Here's the thing. If the federal government turned off the Wuhan relief money, the number of Wuhan cases would plummet. That which you incentivize is that which you will get. It's not that hard to figure out. Governor Greg Abbott and the Texas Division of Emergency Management have announced openings of several Wuhan therapeutic infusion centers. Therapeutic infusion centers. Now see, if Hitler would have just said, no, no, we're sending the Juden to therapeutic infusion centers, everything would have been fine. But no, he wanted to call them Das Konzentration Camps. Therapeutic infusion centers. Right. Welcome to the retarded dystopia, guys. Therapeutic infusion centers. Announced the opening of several Wuhan therapeutic infusion centers to provide Regeneron's monoclonal antibodies to Wuhan outpatients throughout the state. Visit meds.tdem.texas.gov to find a site near you. Meanwhile, the pace of vaccinations has increased as the Delta variant spreads, with an average of more than 80,000 vaccine doses reported daily during the past month. DSHS reports 13.6 million Texans are fully vaccinated. They're fully vaccinated. Not just part, fully vaccinated, which is 46.6% of the state's population. And yet the Omicron variant is about to show up, and it's going to infect all the young kids that are in the fucking kindergartens, which are limited to only 22 students, so that fat 23-year-old girls who don't have any fucking skill set can get more jobs. Oh, the retarded dystopia. Oh, God, I love it.